everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 150. Yes, you heard me correctly, 150. Woo! For the 29th of October, 2011. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
So if we do six more episodes, that means you could listen to one episode of Geek Actually a week for three straight years.
Yes,
that's terrifying and also brilliant at the same time.
I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm good, man. I'm good. It's weird starting an hour later because I'm starting to feel tired already. We're gonna have to get a lot more coffee into me.
Yeah, well, you know, we're also gonna make sure we try and keep these shows tight because it's going to be hot in here. So let's keep this ball rolling. That's what
in my pants.
Yeah, someone had to start it off. And the show descends into chaos. There
and in go. The middle, we have Richard Gray. How are you, Richard?
Yes, have some.
I'm just trying to figure out, my levels seem remarkably low today, and I don't know why.
That's what she said.
All right. Now, this show sounds a little different from the last 2 weeks because the boys are in studio with me.
Yes.
Not Skype.
So I have to say, I'm very impressed with the quality of the thing. I actually downloaded the last episode and listened to the whole thing.
The one before last was even... The one before last, you would actually think you were in the room with me. It was bizarre.
Oh, I actually thought you... At least on the film show.
Yeah, for last
sounds
week,
good. Same deal.
Yeah, no, the Skype... I have no problems with the Skype, and we'll probably be doing that more than live at this point, but we'll be doing the occasional live where you guys are here with me. And this is one of those such weeks. This is Geek Actually. This is our geeky weird podcast about nothing and everything
all
in between
in one go.
We do a little bit of tech, we do a little bit of geek, we do a little bit of geek culture, you know, all that sort of weird shit that we put in here. And if you want to, you can watch the show live. We go out every week, normally at around 12 p.m. Today we are going...
That's a lie.
Today we're going out at 1 on the dot, actually. 1 on the dot, because...
It's daylight savings time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good excuse. Yeah, or you guys don't drive, which would be the other excuse. Somebody in the chat room was actually saying...
Why you gotta bring that up?
Somebody in the chat room was saying... Neither of them drive.
That's personal, Dave.
Anyway, so you can watch us live normally at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. UTC plus 11, that's geekactually.com/live. Now we've got all that out of the way. I went to a event this week, guys. I got to meet Scott Lorson at Fetch TV,
right,
at the Fetch TV headquarters. And he actually kind of stepped through Fetch TV and... I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what you guys know about Fetch TV.
Very little.
It's something to do with TVs, and I believe it fetches stuff from the internet and puts it on a TV.
Is it a dog that arrives at your door with the TV in its mouth and
funnily
just
enough,
it down?
No, but the dog is its logo, so there you go. Now, what Fetch TV is, and what my... All right, first of all, what my impression of Fetch TV was, because iiNet has been advertising it a lot, so my first thought was, this is like an American Roku box or something like that. It's IPTV, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, that's all very cute and everything, but for starting, I think it starts at like $14.99 for the basic package and then like $29.99 for like movies and stuff like that as well. I thought, is it really worth my time? I've already got Foxtel and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Well, they invited us out there because they recently just got picked up. They're going ISP by ISP, basically, right, because the idea is that to have something like this, you really have to have unmetered content, because otherwise it'll just kill you.
Yeah.
With iiNet, for instance, Fetch TV is unmetered, right? So they've just signed a deal now on Optus as well. So, and I believe his motto was everything but Telstra. and that's not because they hate Telstra. So Telstra has its own service already, so they're never going to get Telstra.
Yeah.
So Telstra's got its own service, and it's got 50% share of Foxtel, so
that's right,
they're never going to go for it. But they're basically, their philosophy is everything but Telstra, and then one by one, they're starting to knock their way through all the various ISPs. And at the moment, I actually have their webpage here. We'll just fire this up because it'll tell me which ISPs are actually on. But I know it's on iiNet, and I know it's now on Optus. And so I went in there and I said to him, I said, I'm a little bit skeptical of all of this because to me it just feels like IPTV and what's the big deal? And he said, no, let us do some demos and we'll have a talk with you. And they invited us to have beer and pizza and sit down and just talk about Fetch TV and what it is and so forth. And after he was finished, the entire presentation went for 2 hours. It was only supposed to go for an hour, but we were all getting very into this.
Yeah.
And he had me sold. I really want to fetch TV now. So let's talk a little bit. At the moment, it's on iiNet, Internode, WestNet, Atom Internet, Optus, and NetSpace are the services it's on, and they're rolling out to more and more. They also have deals with every movie distribution company.
Right.
Which I thought was very impressive. They've actually managed to secure deals with all. As he said, we've written lots of very big checks. And and they managed to lock it all down. So what Fetch TV is and what makes it different is on the surface, it just looks like a digital set-top box.
Yeah.
And it is. It basically has terrestrial input, so you can actually have just digital TV. Mm. That doesn't go against any of your ISP, your bandwidth, or anything like that. It has three built-in tuners, so you can actually record up to three shows simultaneously or watch two shows, record another one. So it's got these three built-in tuners. And it's got, I think it's a terabyte of hard drive space. So it's actually a really nice set-top box, 1080p, the whole bit. Now, where it differs from your normal set-top box is it has three inputs because it also hooks into your Ethernet and it also hooks into, which is going out of my mind right now what the third one was. But anyway, the point is that the Ethernet one is the one we really want to talk about here because the Ethernet will then also bring in what they call a one-to-many networked television. It doesn't go out into the internet. It is direct from your ISP, and that's where they then feed in additional channels and movies.
Right.
Once again, high def where available and so forth. Now, the switching between terrestrial and the IPTV is seamless.
Right.
And you just sit there with your remote and flick through it, and it basically has a little symbol that tells you where you are, whether it's the receiver or whether it's IP, but there's no lag time at all. It's amazing. Okay. It just kind of switches between them without any response. Then there are other applications because it also supports apps. Mm. There are apps that your ISP can then put on there as well, and they have their own as well. So if you've got a child, the Mathletics website actually has an app built into it so they can do their Mathletics right on the TV screen. iiNet has an app built onto the iiNet one. Optus will have their own and so forth. And what this allows is you to watch IPTV.
Mm.
So you've now got the three stages of television. Now, he showed us YouTube on this TV. Now, I have an Apple TV. You had an Apple TV. You know that YouTube looks okay on a big screen TV, but it's still not as good as watching it on, say, your computer screen, right? Because YouTube videos don't scale that well unless they're in higher quality. Now, this was remarkable. He fired up YouTube and was starting to play some of the stuff on YouTube. Fetch TV is designed to only retrieve YouTube that is standard or high definition. It doesn't grab the little crappy shit that doesn't play well.
Mm.
And what it does play, because it plays natively straight out of YouTube, it actually has a YouTube Flash written app. Mm. The YouTubes are beautiful. The videos that come through YouTube look like television. They are stunningly attractive. And we can imagine as time goes on, one of the things we were talking about was the updating. It's constantly an evolving beast. It's been around for 3 years now, and it's evolving, and they're always adding new apps, new features, new so forth. It all has live tracking so that they know exactly what's rating well by the minute. They can actually see. He showed us the real-time statistics on it. It was fascinating. We were sitting there watching it. I think they referred to it as the metric monster. And you could actually see the scales just going up and down constantly. And you're mesmerized by it. From a geek point of view, we just sat there going, yeah, that's so cool. Movies are all pay-per-view movies. But there's also a library of movies that they have 30 movies up at a time that are free if you're a subscriber. And they add new films and drop off films every month. So it's continually cycling this whole library of movies, and that will grow as time goes by with their new deals and so forth. So overall, my feeling was when I walked away from it was, I think Foxtel's days might be numbered, and I may have just seen the future of Australian television.
Nice.
So, and I'm keen to get one. So I just thought it was really, really neat. Mm. It has some really good features, and one of the films that's in their library, everybody will be happy to know, is Army of Darkness, which, you know, that's ways.
Important.
Very important, you know. Yeah. I was very impressed. It's also got a Twitter app, a Facebook app, so you can actually do all that on your television screen. The other thing, and then I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk about this, or I will. I could get in trouble for this one, but he showed us something that hasn't come out yet. Sorry, Scott, I'll just mention this very quickly. There's an iPad app coming out.
Oh, okay.
Now, the iPad app he had, and he showed us, and basically it does away with the remote control. So if you have iPads in the house, it does all the controlling of your Fetch TV. Now, people would say, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. Now, I've got the iPad remote for Apple TV, and it's buggy. Have you ever used the iPad remote? It's very laggy. You sit there and you click on a command, and it kind of staggers its way along through the network. There's no lag on this thing. One of the things that the Fetch TV engineers are obsessed by is latency. And so everything they do is about killing lag, constantly killing lag. So even with Foxtel, I find when you change channels on a Foxtel, there's always a beat where it changes channel. Mm. You don't get that with Fetch TV. It's literally really fast. It's built, the entire interface is really slick, translucent backgrounds, a whole bit, all built in HTML5 and Flash. And they update it regularly, so it's always up to date. Because I actually said to him, I said, look, Flash is buggy. How do you guys get around that? And he goes, it's a challenge, but most of it's in HTML5. They use Flash where they need the Flash players. So it was very good. Now I want to thank them for taking me out there and feeding me pizza and showing me this wonderful, because now I have a better understanding. And he said, what can we do to improve this? And the first thing I said to him, of course, was you need to fix your website, because the website does not convey what we saw. And that's an issue. They really need to get in there and really push the features of this thing and talk about the features. But from a geeky point of view, this is really, really special. And interesting to note, Josh, WebKit, it's all built on WebKit, the entire interface, which is the same interface that is used powering Safari and Chrome. So it is very interesting to note. Some of their channels, it's interesting because he was saying, because there's licensing issues, like they've got a channel on there called Profiles. Mm. And he says, if you want to watch biographies, you flick over to the Profile channel. And he goes, just be aware, it is basically the biography channel on Foxtel, so they're not allowed to call it biography because Foxtel owns the rights. So, and they have another one which they call, their Profiles as biography, and I think it's either Chronicles or Gecko. I'm not sure which one it is. One of them is basically the Discovery Channel, but it can't be called that. So, it's Chronicles. I think it's the History Channel, but they can't call it the History Channel or something like that. But and look, the channels are growing all the time. So they're always looking for new content. The other thing to note about this, because he made mention of something and I hadn't heard it yet, and I thought that's kind of odd. QuickFlix, the Australian, kind of the Australian equivalent to Netflix, has gone streaming.
So yeah, we're going to just announce that this week.
Yeah, and it's going to be on PS3 and on their website. So that's going to be very quick. They're going to start rolling that out. So there's a lot of competition in the streaming market. The only problem with the QuickFlix streaming is it's metered.
Yeah,
exactly.
So until they can put that onto some sort of unmetered system, Fetch TV still wins in that regard. But anyway, that was my little. My little adventure this week.
Nice.
What have you guys been up to this week? Anything interesting?
No, not really.
In the geek world. No, I mean, I've had the chance to play two games, which fortunately are both embargoed, so I can't talk about them. But needless to say, some of the new games that are coming out over the next month, I've had a chance to play, and they are phenomenal. When they get closer to the thing, I will release what they are. But a few of the ones that aren't exclusive titles, ones that are going to be all things, and we have been talking about all year, finally got our hands on and impressed. Mm. And I think you got to play.
I did play, which was Infamous Festival of Blood.
And I'm so excited about
which
that.
Which is available as downloadable content now on a PS3. It's a standalone game. It's if you've played Infamous.
So you don't have to have Infamous to get it?
You don't have to have Infamous or Infamous 2 to get it. It's basically the same engine as Infamous 2. And it's the same world, except much like Red Dead Redemption's Undead Nightmare, this is being tarted up for Halloween, and it's vampires running amok. Downtown St. Marais, which is effectively New Orleans. And it's really good. So if you've played... it is a very light version of Infamous 2. It is a very small campaign. I downloaded it last night. I finished it. I've done all but one of the kind of side... if you play the Infamous games, you have to go around collecting things as well. I've done all but one of those. So I've done pretty much 99% of the stuff that you can do in one night. So it's not huge... but it's a hell of a lot of fun. So.
Cool. All right. I've got a couple of questions in the chat room about Fetch TV. I should bring these up. Delta Knight has asked, does it play TV shows? It is basically a set-top box. Let's be clear about that. So it has all the free-to-air channels. It has all the digital channels. But on top of that, they also have deals with Warner Brothers and a few other companies. So in their sections, there are back episodes. They always have a on-demand section. And he was showing me one section which actually has a Warner Brothers label, you click on it, and it lists a whole bunch of Warner Brothers shows, and it always has four episodes in arrears, basically sitting there of each of these shows from past seasons. So you can go through and just have like little mini festivals if you want to.
I hope you're getting paid for this, Dave.
No, I'm not, but I'm impressed by the product. Now, Freak says, does it stream media from a server? No, it's not. It is a set-top box. It's not. It's like getting yourself a digital encoder. It's or a Foxtel. It's not designed to stream media. All right. So, and what's he saying here? The on-demand stuff from Foxtel on the 360 is pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's a little bit like that. Oh, and the other thing I did like about it, and this is actually kind of an important point. When you buy movies and stuff, which are all like $5 or whatever it is, when you do your movie buying, it's just charged to your phone bill. It's not. It doesn't go to a credit card.
That's nice.
So it just goes. It just goes to your ISP, and your ISP charges it up. So I like that. I like the fact that you don't have, because we have our credit cards in too many places.
Agreed.
All right. So that's that. The other thing I've started this week, the kind of fairly big news this week, is that the Walter Isaacson biography, authorized biography of Steve Jobs, came out this week. Now, this is this 600 or 700 page tome, basically of Jobs' life from childhood all the way through to
and
death.
And who's Steve Jobs when he's not at home?
If you're listening to this show, you know who Steve Jobs is. I've started reading it. I'm 5 chapters in. I will talk about it more when I've finished it. But I will say that it is a brilliant book. But two things that struck me. First of all, it is a really warts and all biography. And if you read the introduction to the book, it is made very clear that Steve Jobs actually wanted it to be a real telling. So it's not most biographies, authorized biographies, are kind of glossed over. Steve Jobs actually said to Walter Isaacson, I have no creative control over this book. And I don't even want to read it. And he basically, and the second point to this was to that was that when Isaacson started to write it, he started to interview people who knew Jobs because he said, I needed a clear picture where stories conflicted. Jobs got a little bit upset by that at first, but then turned around and started to encourage everybody to talk to him. And basically saying, no, please, go for it, go talk. And his wife came to Walter Isaacson as well and said, he can be an infuriating person, he can be abrasive, but he has a fascinating story. And she really encouraged Walter Isaacson to write it. And she said, you write it, you say the good things and the bad things. It's important. It's really important that everything goes into the book. Now, with that being said, the second point of this is, if you've ever seen the film Pirates of Silicon Valley, it is remarkably accurate to Steve Jobs' life. Now that we're actually seeing it from Steve Jobs' point of view, that film is remarkably accurate. Well, the first part of it, because I'm in all that early stuff, which is where he's the hippie and he's on all the diets and going to the meditation. He did all of those things, and it's really interesting reading it from his point of view and all this stuff. There's one story I love where it actually talks about the fact that at Atari, because he worked for Atari for a while, he was on an all-fruit diet because he had a history of going through all the fad diets because he's always looking for inner perfection and inner peace. He was on a diet which was all-fruit diet, and he walked into Atari barefoot because he always walked around barefoot with his long beard and his long hair and being a real hippie, and just basically said, I'm not leaving until you give me a job. And the owner of Atari was kind of taken aback by him, thinking this guy's kind of... The receptionist called the owner and basically said, I've got this young hairy hippie out here, basically, do I call the police or do I let him in? And he said, no, let him in. And hired him because he said he was an interesting person. And but what was interesting was that Steve Jobs was on the all-fruit diet because he believed that it was a pure diet, was going to keep him pure, and he wouldn't smell. Now, Jobs also had a history of not bathing very often, and apparently not only did he smell, but his body odor was so bad that all the other Atari engineers complained, to the point where Steve Jobs was actually put on the night shift to work by himself. So yeah, I don't think the fad diets always work to his favor, but it is a really interesting bio. I have an article here.
At least he remained healthy throughout his life, though.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He did, sure. Whatever you say. I actually have the cover for For those, oh, by the way, for those who want to know, that's what the Fetch TV looks like, by the way. It looks like a set-top box, right? So, but this is the cover for his bio, which is that picture that they've had on Apple.com for his...
Who's that guy on the cover?
For his,
I don't know. It looks familiar.
Interestingly enough about this cover, apparently Steve Jobs didn't have any input on the entire book except for the cover. And the reason for that was he saw the early drafts of the cover and he didn't like the picture they had chosen and stuff. And he asked if he could have some input. And so it was... Jobs who chose the picture and actually, and it makes sense because it looks like an Apple product.
Yeah,
it even really the font does. And everything. So, yeah,
black, the white. Oh,
yeah. God, so it does look like Apple. There's some the CNN article which we'll have the link for in our show notes has some highlights from the book, which some of these I've read and some of these I haven't yet. But basically things like Jobs was introduced to Wozniak in high school, and I thought it was very interesting to note that we all knew that Steve Wozniak was a practical joker. It still is to this day. I didn't know that so was Steve Jobs.
No.
Steve Jobs was apparently quite a practical joker, and him that's one of the things that him and Wozniak bonded over. And Jobs was always in trouble. He was continually suspended from schools and all sorts of because he was always in trouble because of practical jokes. And it says in the book, right from a very early age, he had an authority problem. He actually hates people in authority. And this is one of the reasons why you can imagine he's in control of it. Well, he was in control of everything that he did. I thought it was interesting to note that Steve Wozniak, because there's stories about Wozniak in there as well, one of the level of their practical jokes, Steve Wozniak actually built a electronic metronome at one point that actually ticked. And he thought that was so very fun that he got some very large batteries, stripped them back, taped them together, put a whole bunch of wires on them and taped the metronome to them and put them in somebody's locker so that it was ticking and looked like a bomb and was programmed that when the door was opened, it would tick faster. Later that day, he was called into the principal's office and his Wozniak's words, he said, I thought I was going to receive a maths award. But when he got there, there were police officers waiting. Right. He was taken to juvenile detention center and... rather than going, oh my God, what have I done wrong? Steve Wozniak took it as, he was very childlike, he took it as an adventure and then proceeded to teach the other people in the cell how to take the wires out of the ceiling fan and attach them to the bars to shock people when they touch the bars.
Oh, dude, that's great.
So he was a practical juror, and Steve Jobs did a lot of this sort of stuff as well. Jobs did spend a lot of time in India, sitting squat-legged with yogis and so forth, trying to find he spent an entire youth looking for enlightenment. It was all about, because he was adopted, and he always had abandonment issues. Even though he was adopted at childbirth, he had abandonment issues, wondering why he was abandoned. And so that really ate at him, apparently.
And in the end, it was capitalism that was his higher calling.
It's funny because they address that. They say that he was, I'm in the part of the book right now where he's starting to shift from that spirit. But even after becoming this real capitalist, though, he still has this very Zen-like quality to everything he does. He's striving for that Zen constantly, but he could never find inner peace, apparently. So it's like, I think he was always striving for it, but could never quite attain it. It's a good book. Have a read of it. It's available on everything. You can get it on Kindles, hardback, audiobooks. I mean, it is absolutely everywhere. And just before, if you're worried at all that this is a book that's going to gloss over his life, this is not that book. This is a book that Steve Jobs wanted people to know. And later in his life, finally, the secret curtain came down.
I will give it as much shit as I definitely know I will, even by the time I read it. But I will read it because I'm curious. It's the same reason a lot of the people that I would read a biography on, I know, can be quite douchebaggery, at the best of times. But yeah. I'm curious with this guy. I just want to see it. I mean, like, I don't think I'm going to agree with his life.
That's the thing. I could not live his life. The life that he's describing.
Yeah.
It's not a life I would ever want to live. I don't understand that whole pursuit of wanting to sit in isolation chambers and work in apple orchards and sit squat-legged with a guru. You know what I mean? It's like, this is not me in any way, shape, or form. But it's really fascinating because it shows you what shaped him and turned him into what he is.
Yeah.
And I would encourage everybody, now that I know how fucking accurate it is, go out and watch Pirates of Silicon Valley. It is spookily accurate, actually. Well worth having a look at. All right. We do have some fun stuff as well. That was all the boring stuff out of the way, I know. Josh, we have a theme.
We do?
We have a theme. DJ Jaeger came to our rescue. You know how we said we always want themes and stuff? Yep. DJ Jaeger was the one who, of course, gave us this theme. We all know this one.
It's time for the
beat up of the week
on Geek Action.
Okay, so we all remember that one, right?
Fantastic.
Well, we have a story that's coming up, and I think it is appropriate that we need to play this because it is time for...
Just as a thing, would you like to flick back to us actually being on screen? I think people have seen enough of Steve Jobs.
I don't know. I think he's much more handsome than me.
And I'll continue to do this.
There we go. So we do have impending robot apocalypse news, and DJ Yeager has come to our rescue.
Oh, mad.
The impending robot apocalypse.
And that leads us into...
love it.
That leads us into self-replicating robots. Yeah. Now, this is just... Now, I've heavily, heavily trimmed this video down because it is very long. Follow the show notes. You can actually watch the entire thing. There's long passages where nothing happens, where it's just waiting. But what you're about to see
lurking
here is spooky. This is actually called the Foam Bot. And basically what it's designed to do is build a foam robot. So it delivers its payload, and I'll play the video. There's no real sound, it's just stuff in the background. So I'll play it and we'll describe what's going on here. This is a foam bot. So this is the foam bot. And he's dropping his payload here at this point, which is these little units. Now they look like little worms. See, they crawl out all by themselves. That's been sped up so that we can actually see what's going on here. So they crawl out. And that's creepy enough in itself that these things crawl out from underneath it. But then it goes and it sorts them all out because it has to put them into position. So it drives around and it stacks them into the right position. Now I've cut this down a little bit so we don't have to sit here and watch the whole thing. So it stacks them into position like this. And then after it's got them into the right position, it deploys its foam. Now it's got this little foam gun, and this is foam like the stuff that hardens. You know, the stuff they put into fire retardant foam and stuff like that. Mm. So it sprays it out, and it sprays it into all the points that it needs. And it comes up here, and I like how shaky it is. Like, ha, ha, ha. And it sprays the second set of foam here. And so basically, it's going to spray all this. I wish I could fast forward this a little bit because it goes on for a while, but he puts a big old load of foam down here in the middle. And you're sitting there going, what the hell is it doing? It's building this foam up. And you start to see it take shape, and it looks like a quadruped. So, and you see it puts the feet on. So it's put feet onto either side, and it's put a body down the middle, which now combines those four little subunits that it gave birth to before. And then it sits and waits for it to dry, which I've cut all the drying part out. And then the beast comes to life.
Oh, dude, and it's even like it's alive. It's like doing the whole...
I know. It's creepy. It is so...
Is he controlling it, though? Because he had a controller in his hand.
No, there's actually one point where he just sits there for a long time just holding the controller. I think it's like an override.
Yeah.
Because it's actually...
in case it goes wrong.
it tries to take over the world. But look at it. It's just kind of... And it crawls away.
Fucked up.
Oh, Jesus.
It's so gross.
That's wrong.
It's terrifying.
It's wrong in every way.
Just get that little kick at the end. It freaked me out.
Now, the video's a lot longer, and if you watch it, the whole thing, it's actually mesmerizing because it's trying to unstick itself from the ground.
Oh, that was frightening.
It's trying to break the foam off the ground. It's just evil. Kind of like the replicators from Stargate. Yeah, a little bit. And Freak says it looks like it's in pain.
Yeah, it really does. Well, birth is usually painful.
Birth's a bitch, man.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
But I thought... That's not enough for the robot apocalypse this week because we haven't done it for a few weeks. So I thought artificial skin has raised its head again. And here's a scientist just talking about it. Now, the reason why I thought this video was funny in particular is because, A, it actually explains how it works, which kind of makes sense. It's like an iPad screen with haptic feedback, basically.
Right.
But it's the scientist himself. And I want you to watch this guy because, and it's also quite funny because these scientists obviously thought they were being funny in the cutting of this, and you'll see what I mean when you watch it. But here they are.
This device is an 8x8 array of compressible transparent pressure sensors. A capacitor has two conductive parallel plates that when you press on them, the distance between the parallel plates gets closer, and that has the effect of increasing the capacitance of the device. So now I'm pressing and releasing, pressing again, releasing. This is what the signal looks like.
All right, so that's all pretty straightforward
at this point. We've exploited the use of spray-on carbon nanotubes. Nanotubes are like conductive spaghetti. When they're in solution, you can spray them like an ink and you can stretch them.
After this initial stretching, then these little springs can be stretched repeatedly again and again without losing the conductivity. I'm very excited about this invention.
If this were wired, I could actually press on it and it would sense not only my touch, which an iPhone can do, but also the pressure. One of the long-term applications is to use a stretchable, conformable, skin-like device in artificial intelligence systems. So if you have a robot like an android like Data from Star Trek,
geek,
is potentially be He's made out of right something then. Like this.
Yay! Yay!
The ultimate dream of this type of research is to restore functionality to lost skin for amputees.
Which is kind of what I think the major application is. And that's what I was saying about the scientists. It's like
the ultimate goal of this type of science.
He comes out and he goes, "It's we can make androids like Data." Yeah. Oh yeah, we can also help the handicapped.
You know where he's going. Yeah.
And the look on his face when he starts talking about the android is like, yeah, the big smile on his face.
You know he's got a half-built fembot in his apartment.
He's like, I'm almost done with it, but I'm not allowed to tell you about it.
Oh dear. So he made me laugh. I just thought he was funny.
She can feel the pressure.
Now the other thing,
springy.
She giggles when I tickle her. Now I just
wanted, like Data.
I wanted to bring up this guy here, this gentleman here in the picture in the chat room. Man here, he lost his arm basically. I think it was a birth. Actually, he's been armless, and so he has an artificial arm, and he has decided that it was a really good idea to carve a hole in for his phone into his arm. Now, he uses a Nokia phone, which the article actually says, first thing it says is Nokia? Really? but as he points out, they're thinner width-wise than an iPhone, so it fits into the prosthesis better. But he says, you know, now it's much easier to text, and if he needs to answer a call, he can just raise his arm to his ear. And I'm thinking, that's kind of awkward to start with.
He has one arm missing, but, dude. I imagine life is quite
well, okay, but my
Pip Boy, as Northy said, that's a Pip Boy prototype, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But my point to all of this is he still has one working hand. Why can't he just take his phone out and use his other hand to hold the phone?
Because people like to get creative, and and I want Pip Boys too. So because
he's lefty,
he's
can't go
do.
Right. Some righties can't go left.
Right.
Yeah.
I
think he's looking to do something that he didn't need to do somehow.
Look, it made the show.
It did make the show. That's true. That's true. By the way, the phone, for those who are really geeking out, is a Nokia C7. So it's not even a really new phone.
Well, you know what, man?
He's been carving that thing for
a long time.
We've got halfway through and it's like, you know what?
He's only
it's
got
not
one
gonna
arm
fit
to
an iPhone.
He's only got one arm
that.
To carve
I was
with.
Gonna say that, but I thought that would be in poor taste. You went there though, didn't you?
You freaking people.
Oh, dear.
But it's true, I'm just thinking practicalities. If he's carving this thing, he's only got one arm.
All right, this next story is actually a Richard story. So, do you want to tell us about it, Richard?
Look, I
thought this was great. By the way,
this is good. Like, we've seen over the last few years a lot of different programs of providing computers to kids around the world, and there's those, and you know, and I think one of the great things that came out of it is those little cheap computers that we can now buy often come out of these one computer per child programs. But the Zimbabwean government has teamed up with Apple. To deliver solar-powered iPads to schools.
I was thinking about this. Where do you put the solar panel? Is it on the back?
Now, I've got to go through this again.
There's no picture, so I don't know what they're actually doing.
No, but it said...
But it's a great idea.
And to the idea, obviously a lot of remote locations, and we've spoken about this before on the show, particularly in developing countries, in places like India, where mobile telephony is just ubiquitous. And it's obviously it's more so than landlocked computers.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes perfect sense for them to enter into some kind of tablet sort of scheme.
Mm.
But the addition of solar panels on these things is brilliant. As you said, I'm not quite sure whether it'll be some kind of attachment or whether it's
a unit specifically for them.
Mm. Yeah.
But my question is,
I made a mistake. It said that. Newsday incorrectly reported that Apple had entered into a joint venture with the Zimbabwean government. That's not actually true. It's they're using iPad technology in the regard, but Apple's not part of this venture.
So in other words, it's going to be a clip-on.
It's a clip-on, yeah.
It's going to be a clip-on. But I was thinking about it after reading that story, thinking, why, you know, when calculators first came out, you had to change the batteries and all this stuff. And then when solar-powered calculators came out, you know, with the little solar panel on it, we never saw a battery again in a calculator. How long until all phones and iPads and stuff will just have a little solar cell in it and we'll never need a battery again?
And I think that's brilliant because Apple really needs to work on their battery power. I think we need to work on batteries in general. But the thing is, I think
actually the industry in general needs to work. There was actually Josh and I did a story on this a while ago saying all the technology has moved along over the last 5 years except batteries. We're still using the same old batteries we've been using.
And this should be batteries' time to shine.
Yeah,
like, you know, the battery industry
have
finally
found a purpose. Guys, we have to look at it the way that it is. There is the small part of me that thinks that the reason that we haven't moved forward is very, very much the same reason we haven't moved forward with electric cars. Is essentially
it's going to kill an industry.
There is a whole part of technology which makes a lot of money off replacing
and
it's like you get rid of that and you give somebody a battery that'll last for 10 years and will only have will only have to be recharged once every week and
there
a half.
There is also a factor which is if every single thing, and we're not talking about calculators anymore, we're talking about 45 million iPhones, I think they're predicting that they're going to sell 45 million iPhones this year. Mm. When you talk about that many devices, and then you talk about all the Android phones and everything else, solar panels are a non-renewable mineral that goes into making solar panels. So we look at it and go, we might actually be drying that well up, so to speak, if we go crazy on that. I don't know.
But I think in this situation, it's absolutely vital. I mean, look, you know, we've all got electricity.
Yeah, Freak says in the chat room, it's probably like a Gorilla power pack with the
But the thing is, I mean, look, this is actually, I think, a really positive thing because, you know, Apple's quite a closed-door ecosystem. You know, Apple does its thing and, you know, Apple brings out the technology. When ventures like this happen, it does actually give maybe a different way of doing things. So we might actually see something that ends up in you know our next iPhone or what have you, at the same time, these are the areas that need this kind of technology, and I think it's brilliant that the Zimbabwean government has actually taken the first step. So I came across this earlier this week, and I thought it would be a perfect little story.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I thought any time a government takes an initiative like this and basically says let's help everybody out, like when we were talking about India, sponsoring the tablets.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, you sit there and go, that's a good move. Mm. It's trying to get everybody equalized.
And as I said before, it has that knock on effect. The reason that we have those little Asus and $300 computers or less. Mm. Is because of the one computer, one child program. Mm. You know what this leads to for the rest of the world is could be the next big step. So
Now we just have a follow up to our gentleman with his carved fake arm and his phone. Northy in our chat room says, Dave, you can't masturbate to phone sex with one hand.
Exactly.
Northy, you went there.
I've got a mental picture now of this guy.
Not that hand. One not hand. That hand.
Wow, we just did not need to go there.
Josh, there might be a new Xbox.
Yeah.
I thought this was kind of
interesting. You know what, man? I've heard that one a bit, actually.
Yeah, this is...
I heard that one about 3 years ago.
Well, no, this is now coming out basically saying that manufacturers are now starting to gear up. They're talking about a new Xbox by 2013.
Yeah, look, and that doesn't surprise me, dude. We're starting to hit the end of what the console can do. And I mean, like, games like, and I don't want to use as a good example because we all know what I think about it, but Rage, as an example, could have probably ran better on a better console. Battlefield looks really good, but we're getting to that same era we got at the end of the PlayStation era where you start getting these last games that push the console as far as it can go, and then everything else starts to go past it. And look, hey, you know, over next year might be PC's gold time, because essentially PCs might go to places that other gaming consoles can't go to for like a year, and then a console's going to come out and destroy that.
Mm. Well, they're saying that the debut of the Xbox 360 was exactly 4 years after the debut of the Xbox, and they're now saying that the next Xbox will probably be double that. It'll probably be 8 years on top of it. They've managed to eke a lot of life out of this hardware. But the rumors are generating, saying that the Xbox might be unveiled at E3 2013. The reason why that this is a little bit more than just the usual is it coming or isn't it coming is the fact that several LinkedIn accounts for Microsoft employees now has them listed as working on the hardware.
They're probably fired now.
Jeff Faulkner pinpointed as creative director of Xbox Next Gen. So there are a few. Microsoft has declined to comment on this.
Of course they have.
Which is also usually means, shit, how did you find out about it?
Well, it's on your public profile.
Well, and it doesn't matter which way you look at it, because essentially it's going to happen, and now it starts. And like, if they're any bit smart at all, what they'll start doing is just, you know, supporting random rumors all over the place until it becomes a frenzy. And then, like, 6 months from now, we'll get our first piece of real knowledge about where it's
heading. I reckon we'll just start getting our first real bits of knowledge after Windows 8 comes out.
No, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if mid-next year at E3 we see the announcement. Because
and that comes a year later.
Then it comes a year later. And it's been a while since we've had groundbreaking anything at E3.
Although, they do say that...
Don't forget the Wii U, Josh.
the what?
The Wii U.
The what?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They do say that if they announce E3 2013, the launch will be followed, so the machine would probably come out in time for the holidays, which is the same pattern as Xbox One and Xbox 360. They announced the E3 and then came out for Christmas.
I actually still hope they keep to the 2013 thing and actually push it through that year, because we all know that Xbox, the last launch, had a bunch of really buggy, really half-made consoles because we didn't spend enough time quality checking. So, just saying.
The other thing that suggests that there is another 360 or another Xbox coming is apparently Lionhead is already at work on Fable Next. And other development houses, including EA and Crytek, have also been rumored to have preliminary development hardware. So it looks like there is movement on this. So,
I'll get one.
You don't have one now.
Yeah, well, because I'm waiting for them.
Oh, you're waiting for the next one? Okay.
No, well, there's no point. Like, I've got a PS3, and there's no point in buying a system that's, you know, almost, 6 years old now?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not going to... I mean, I don't have a need to have two consoles.
That's true. That's
I do have a Wii for some reason.
And this is one of those times where I wish I had music just sitting there on my desktop waiting to go, because I would play Hammer Time. You can't touch this. Because I thought this was the funniest story. MC Hammer is back, bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a way to come back, too.
And I like the fact that CNN starts...
Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years.
That's right. Yeah. I like the fact that CNN starts this... CNN starts this article by saying, you can't Google this. Apparently, he's gone into the search engine market, and he's going to be launching his new search engine.
Tell us a bit about his search engine.
Now, he says, what makes his search tool better than Google? And then
start with a big claim.
Yeah, they go in to say, too legit to quit, will be its deep search ability.
Now, how deep?
How deep?
So essentially what this is going to be is that you send an email to MC Hammer and he goes and looks for stuff for you.
It says his search engine is about relationships beyond just keywords, according to Mashable and the CNN.com. He says that basically it's about looking for topics, and it goes deep into your website to look for. So basically what it is like that little thing we use in WordPress that says, if you like that, you might like this. Yeah. And so it's looking for related articles rather than just keywording. That's what Google does.
Yeah. I've seen that more like this option already.
I don't know why he's going into the search engine market, considering that Microsoft, with far more money than him, still hasn't managed to crack the search engine market with Bing.
Yeah, but
they don't have his...
Microsoft won't be able to use Can't Touch This on their commercial. or they won't be... I think... MC Hammer, you better start praying just to make it today.
I'm trying to figure out whether or not...
You get that one. That's yours.
The project, by the way, is called WireDo. It has been 2 years in the making.
Wired
do. He announced it at Web 2.0 Summit in San Francisco just recently, and he's saying it'll go. It's still in pre-beta. Its website is currently letting people sign up to test the search engine when the beta release is ready. So I think we should all sign up and test this thing when it comes out. So Wired do. MC Hammer. I thought, didn't he lose all his money at some point? Didn't he go bankrupt or something in the late 90s or something?
And, dude, who knows? Maybe this will be the next big thing. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, like...
Does he still wear parachute pants? That's what I want to know.
That would explain a lot. Let me just try this out. There's a topic I'm searching for. I'm going to go Google it. There's a topic I'm searching for. Let me just wire do that.
No.
Can even you wire do this for me?
I can even Bing that more than I could wire do it.
Yeah.
I think is stupid.
I still can't Bing it, man. It's just no matter how hard I try, it just doesn't sound right.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's just the sound of it. I don't Bing things.
Bing either.
Google, it sounds like you're saying bang with a New Zealand accent.
Well, no, either that or the other thing is that it's like, Bing is a pre-established sound, and it's a pre-established word where it's like Google was never used before. There was never Google. Like you've never used that word for anything else. So it becomes defined and therefore becomes part of our lingo and becomes part of a statement. Whereas now, if you Bing things, it's like bada Bing. You know, there are pre-attached concepts to that word, so therefore it just never sounds right.
So I guess by that rationale, then why I do should work completely.
All right, Josh, we got homework for you.
Oh dear God.
Like everything in the...
like my life's not busy enough already.
Oh, you'll like this homework. Like everything in the IT industry, as soon as something cool comes out, the clones hit the market.
Right.
The Indians have decided, the Indians as in the country India, not the Indians like, you know, American Indians. Yeah. They have turned around and basically cloned Siri. It's called Iris. Siri backwards, and it's available in the Android marketplace right now. So that's your job, man. You got homework to go. Go find Iris for us.
Done.
Apparently, Iris took only 8 hours to create.
So I somehow don't think it's going to have the same level of.
It says it's a blatant Android knockoff of Siri. Granted, it says Dextra, which is the company, wasn't starting completely from scratch. What else do they say about it? It says, I put Iris on my Android phone. This is an article that's on CNN, by the way, which I thought was fun because he actually put some samples. Why is my screen going berserk? Stop that.
Freak said he's been using Iris.
Oh, cool.
In the chat rooms. It's not as good as Siri, but it's okay.
Well, okay. That's what we want to know. So this is why Josh has to load it up so we can actually test it out. I like what it says here. It says, I put Iris on my Android phone this weekend and it's amusing. For instance, here's a discussion I had with Iris yesterday. Me, what time is the John Scofield concert at Yoshi's Jazz Club in Oakland tonight? Iris, I have no idea.
It's like the useless sister.
Me, who is John Scofield? Iris, John Scofield, born 1951, the musician. Shows a photo of Scofield performing. Me, where is Yoshi's Oakland? Iris, right now being pulled in by a black hole.
I love it. Dude, that's the sort of artificial intelligence I want. One that's not helpful.
So you need to go to the Android marketplace and look for Iris, okay?
I just want one that's really big and just goes, no, find it yourself.
I'm
lazy
busy.
Bastard. But while we're talking about Siri, I think we really do need to have a look at this new site, which I think is just joyous. How long would it take? Didn't take long. We now have a site. Shit that Siri says. All right. And basically, it is a user generated site. You can submit your screenshots of the conversations you've had with Siri. Some of them are boring, some of them are great. Where can I get some dope was a question asked, and Siri responded with, I have a number of places fairly close by.
Wow, dude, they're even pugs. So.
Yeah. A friend of mine got one, and she put it in, I don't know if it's on here, she should take a screenshot of it. So she said, where can I get a prostitute? And it said, there are a number of places in your area. It's great.
Wow. I like the fact that this one says, Siri answered, here. He goes, Siri answered, Siri here. Siri, if that's me. something I didn't know. Apparently in some European countries, Siri is a male voice.
Oh.
Apparently, I think it's like 4 or 5 European countries. It's a male voice, including Germany and I believe England. And there's been an uproar. People are actually saying, give us the female voice. Why are we getting this male voice? Now, what do we got here? What's your biggest secret? Siri says, my name is Siri and I was designed by Apple in California. That's all I'm prepared to say.
I found my favorite one here is, what can I help you with? Why do my genitals smell bad? I don't know. Frankly, I've wondered that myself.
Wow.
There was one here which I can satisfy you, and Siri responds with, you sound very capable. And then I love the one that says, who is your main competitor? And Siri responds with, do I have one of those? I guess I'll have to check. anyway. So, yeah, go and have a look at shitthatsiri.tumblr.com. It is very funny. It goes on for pages and pages and pages. Some of them are just ridiculous, and some of them are really genuinely funny. So
it's interesting that it goes off to Wolf for Alfram for some of its stuff as well.
They have a licensing deal.
Yeah, so I love this one. What do you do with a drunken sailor? This might answer your question. Input interpretation. What shall we do with a drunken sailor? Result. Put him in the back of a paddy wagon.
Which is lyrics from the song.
Yeah.
So, no, it's actually incredibly clever at some points. Now, where is it? There was actually one. Now, it's not here on the front screen because they move on so fast.
Have you ever
read the Bible? Sorry, Peter. I can only read incoming messages.
There was one that actually said, there was actually one that I thought was really funny. It was it's moved off the front page now because they move pretty fast. That actually said something like, do I need a raincoat today or is it going to rain today? And it's not that one. Because Siri actually basically said something like, no, blah, 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 and then popped up the wizard, only kidding.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's weird,
that's
man.
Creepy. That's creepy, man. Not comfortable with that.
So, although I do like, who is your main competitor? Do I have one of those? I guess I'll have to check.
I also love the fact that if you say, sing me a song, it actually goes, Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true, which is from 2001, which is just awesome.
That's cool. The word you're looking for is creepy, Dave.
Now, what's this one? What can I help you with? Jabberwocky. Okay, I give up. Could you try it again? It says Jabberwocky. Let's see. A couple more seconds. Sorry, Christina. I couldn't do it. Could you please try it again, please?
That was like my favorite one when we were first trying it out. It was like I couldn't find the answer and it said, I'm sorry I have let you down.
So I think that's awesome, and I can't wait till next year when I get Siri. I'm looking forward to playing with Siri. Ooh, that's what she said.
This is probably the most accurate one for the majority of people who've posted these. Are you a virgin? We were talking about you, not me.
There's actually one because of the male voice, I assume. When I read it, I didn't understand it, but then when I found out there was some of them that have a male voice, one of them actually said, you have a lovely penis, and Siri responded with, thank you.
Wow.
So I think sometimes it's just looking for the words lovely and stuff like that. I also found out that you can actually program Siri to call you anything you want. So you can have Siri say master or Lord of the universe or, you know. So all you have to do is basically say, call me such and such, and that from that point onwards, it'll always call you.
Wow.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty neat. One of Richard's fans says, you piss me off. And Siri responds with, don't be mad. I'll just make you angry. It'll just make you angry.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
My favorite, the one we're looking at is, what can I help you with? Suck my dick. Ask nice now. But the one right next to it is, Siri, where is the G-spot? It goes, okay, here's the G-spot for you. And it found it on a map location. It's in Chicago.
I like that it says, it's not far from you. That's quality. And this is with friend as well. I need a friend. Here's friend.
I cut off my penis. I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
Anyway, all right, enough of Siri. We're running long now. For a show that we have one more story, and then we're going to talk about food. This one I just wanted to bring up because, quite frankly, in this world, the one thing we don't need is more things to... Oh, sorry, Delta 9 in chat.
Dude, you just
sorry.
Ran out of my...
Sorry, no, I just caught...
Dave outside. Broke. Oh,
I just
God.
I caught out of the corner of my eye. Delta said, can you please tell me you're going to talk about Iris 9000? I wasn't going to, but we can very briefly. ThinkGeek has released a product called Iris 9000, and it's basically you plug your phone into it, and it actually gives Siri the HAL 9000 eye.
Oh, right.
With the glowing red eye and everything. which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So anyway, what was it? Oh yeah, the one thing that we don't need in this world is anything to distract our drivers more. Right. We sit there and say we shouldn't be texting, we shouldn't be talking on the phone. So anyway, this company, this is in Gizmodo, by the way. This company has now come up with augmented reality heads-up displays that they hope to be able to bring in the next couple of years. They look like this, by the way. So when you're driving, you have an augmented... And so now the GPS is actually... See that red line on the screen? Mm. That red line is what's called a navigation thread.
Yeah.
And it actually curves around the roads. It's taking... So it's like your GPS is right up on the screen.
Dude, no, I'm sorry, but that's amazing.
Look, it's amazing. No, it's amazing technology. All I can think, though, is see the pop-up advertising and stuff that's happening on the screen?
Yeah.
This is all just distracting.
Yeah, and you're going to get people that'll figure out how to hack it, and then shit's just going to start popping up on your window.
Look, there are no billboards on that road, and yet there are four pieces of pop-up advertising that are happening. So it's all digital billboards that are now showing up on your screen rather than...
That is super cool.
They're building signs, though, dude. They're not going to be advertising, so they'll just be whatever your company logo is. Mm. So essentially, so people know that that's a Best Western.
I worry about any distractions, and they always tell you you're not supposed to hang fuzzy dice and stuff from your rear vision mirror. I mean, these things are actually... So now what we're doing is we're just putting them directly... People have digital fuzzy dice hanging in their window now.
I wonder, though, it's kind of like, you know, if you've got a GPS device on your dashboard anyway, you're kind of... You have to look at that and not look at the
road. I can understand GPS as a heads up, but it's all the other stuff that it worries me. All the little widgets, you know. I just worry that it's going to get too overblown to the point where we're not going to be able to see the road anymore. You know?
But if we're all using them, we'll all crash. I mean, it's
we'll all crash. What the hell?
It reminds me there was we had that thing a few weeks back. It was that guy who'd. What game did he turn it into? It was
what was it called? Chat room, help us out. The guy who built the car out of the gaming console. The gaming cabinet.
And he'd basically
Outrun.
Outrun.
Oh yeah.
Outrun. That's right.
He just augmented his reality with Outrun.
Yeah, no, that was an interesting experience. I'm very glad that car doesn't drive any faster. It could
be interesting. I mean, I'm all for augmented reality. This is the future that I'm looking forward to, but I understand your concerns.
I also look at that, though, and the one thing that worries me as well about this is how visible is this going to be on a bright, sunny day? On a bright sunny day. They're showing a nighttime scene. It's going to be very easy to see stuff at night, you know? Mm-hmm. During a bright, sunny day, this is just going to wash out unless we all have dark-tinted windows.
Unless that's actually... Your vision is now a lot more. It's a lot darker.
Maybe I was going to say they could tint all the
unless
windows.
Unless that is a daytime scene and it's done this.
Would be weird too, wouldn't it? Yeah, we'd all become vampires.
Or you've just lost the color out of things as well, which means you've you can't tell what color the lights are.
Yeah, I like the fact that they still have a Starbucks sign. Aren't they gone now?
There's still a couple.
There's still a few around.
And you have to mark them wherever they are.
Because there's so few of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get into weird food. And weird food this week is actually slightly different. It's not really that weird. It's kind of cool. Delta has obviously been spending a lot of time at ThinkGeek recently. And he sent us some links from ThinkGeek because he thought they were kind of fun. First of all, Josh, you love caffeine drinks. We just know
science.
That. Sorry?
I said that science, yes.
So how would you feel about drinking Romulan ale? It's a caffeine drink that's blue.
It's blue.
Like Romulan ale.
I'm in it.
Like from the movies.
I'm in it.
And then if that doesn't...
But it's not alcoholic, though, is it?
No, it's an energy drink.
Then it's not Romulan ale.
Then if that doesn't tickle your boat, Josh, you could also get a ThinkGeek health potion, which is, once again, a caffeine drink shaped like most video game health potion bottles.
Yeah, except for it looks mildly like... And I know this will be slightly ironic for me to say, but that seems incredibly unhealthy looking. Yeah.
I think that's the problem when you put these drinks in a clear bottle rather than a metal thing.
You actually look at it and you're like, I'm drinking that shit? What?
And the other thing we have in food that I thought, this is one I can get behind. I'm not a big energy drinker, but I like this. I like we like gummy products. How about gummy shot glasses? Shoot the alcohol, then eat the cup.
Shove that all in your mouth. That looks great.
It kind of takes Jello shots to a whole new level, doesn't it?
Yes.
Except more chewy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, Northy, he's saying, isn't the red coloring which gives you cancer? Apparently, no, that's the orange one, according to...
Is it orange?
Yeah, because apparently that's the thing that Fanta apparently gives you cancer with. Look, do you know that realistically, none of this shit is going to give
realistically,
you cancer.
Though, let's be very clear. It was scientifically proven in the 1970s that everything gives you cancer, including money. Yeah. There was a scientist in, I think it was in California back in the 70s, who was so sick of everybody saying this causes cancer, that causes cancer, that unethically he took a rat and shoved pennies down its throat until it developed cancer.
Oh, wow.
And proved scientifically, proved scientifically, money causes cancer. Yeah. So,
wow.
So basically he's saying, relax, everything can kill you.
Yeah. I can't relax now that I know that everything's going to kill
me. Do things in moderation. It's all about excess. You know what I mean?
I think it's red coloring, as an aside, that all comes from this one like type of beetle.
Yeah, well, it's the same stuff that grenadine comes from. Yeah. It's like, that red thing that we use in tequila sunrises and
the
stuff.
The blood of crushed up beetles. Just remember that anytime you have anything
red. Well, just remember that all gummy product is actually horse's hooves.
Well, no, I'm highly aware of that. That anything with gelatin in it is animal.
Animal byproduct. My mother used to, who's a vegetarian, used to always go, "You're eating horse's hooves," you know?
I always remember
like, yum.
Yum, thank you. Take me to McDonald's.
They're made from hooves, you know.
Hooves. All right. So the one thing that I will say about red jelly, though, is it makes children hyperactive.
Yeah.
You give them enough red drink and they'll bounce off the walls. It's quite fun to watch. Except for Nicholas, funnily enough. Nicholas seems to be immune to that.
No.
Other things make him hyperactive, but red drink doesn't seem to do it. We used to know a kid who used to eat twisties. Anything with orange coloring used to make him bounce off the walls. So he was forbidden from having twisties or orange drink or anything like that.
Interesting.
So, yes, look, everything. Here you go, Richard. Okay, good. All right. All right, do we have Geek Picks of the Week?
I've pretty much said. Oh, sorry, I'll just jump in there. I've pretty much said mine, so it's Infamous Festival of Blood for me.
Infamous Festival of Blood. Okay, cool.
Games I can't talk about.
Games you can't talk about. Well, that doesn't help us at all, doesn't it?
I know it doesn't, but unfortunately.
And one of them makes me insanely jealous.
I know.
Mm. I have a free app for the iPad/iPhone. It's a universal app that I want you guys to get because I think it could be fun. And it's called Let's Golf 3. And it's free, but it allows you to multiplay.
Oh,
okay.
So you can actually multiply over the network and compete with each other.
Is it golf or mini golf?
Mini golf.
Oh,
okay,
right,
that's all right then. That's
Well, it's actually, no, I take that back. It's actually golf, but done in cartoon style. So you're actually playing on golf courses, but you're all little avatar characters, and it's all very, very cartoon.
We'll see about that.
And but it's free, and it's networked.
if you ever get me saying to you, Dave, let's golf.
You'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't see that.
You guys are no fun. You really aren't.
Well, we'll
I'll give it a try. I'll give it a shot. That's all I'm saying.
I was playing it on the train last night when I was coming home from the movie going, this is kind of fun. And it kept saying, do you want to play single player or multiplayer? It's like, I don't have anybody to play with. Anyway.
That's when you know that you're a lonely person. Do you want to play single player? And it's like, yeah.
That's all I got.
That multiplayer button's never getting pressed.
All right. Well, that's a show then. If you guys aren't going to play, we're going to move on.
That's a record.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to this show, send it to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can voicemail us at 02-801-13167. That's what she said, Dave, says Delta Knight. Leave it alone. Get your merchandise, like this t-shirt, or this fine mug that I'm using right now, or anything
this shirt,
like that.
This shirt, we actually sell these shirts.
Don't mislead them. You can join our fan page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, do all that wonderful stuff just by going to geekactually.com. There's a big follow us button. You'll find it there. Josh, where can people find more about you?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. You should go over and check that out. It's full of all sorts of gaming goodness. And though we've been a little bit quiet this week just due to massive amounts of work on both Nathan and Dave's front, we will, of course, also be... seeing a lot more content go up over the next few days. And Dave also has a new Studio 33 video coming up. So, rawdlc.com, check that out. And hiphopnetonline.com, go over and check that out if you want a few sentences worth of all the hip-hop news you need over
and
the
And if
week.
You have trouble with that URL, you'll find it now on the front page of geekactually.com.
I know, and I love the little picture. Well done, Dave.
That's
very cool.
That was Richard's idea, by the way. Putting
the
smoke.
Because you will find the same link on therealbits.com, which is where you can find me.
Cool. Where else can they find you, Richard?
You can find me on therealbits.com, which is the film website. And it's rweelbits.com. And you can also find me on Twitter constantly at DVDBits.
And you'll find lots of new content at The Real Bits because you're a machine.
Yes, it's true. I got accused of that again by someone this week.
Well, you are a machine. Yeah. For a solo person website, I've never seen so many posts go up on single days.
Because I don't do anything else.
I wake up, I'm about to prep up the show. I look at the feeds, and you've already got, what, five up today?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, I get up. Do you sleep?
No, if I didn't, I wish I didn't sleep, because then I could get up the news that breaks at 2 o'clock our morning.
I noticed that. Have you noticed that if you're up late, yeah, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, that's when the hot stuff happens in the States.
I wish, look, if anyone can work out a way for me to not sleep.
What you have to do is start working
and work
nights.
Full time.
No, what you have
and
to do is start working
without
nights.
Going insane.
So you it's need to start true. Working from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight or something like that.
I'll come home, do all the updates.
Do then. All the updates, sleep during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. There you go. You need,
yeah, but
you
then,
need,
then you work. Lose a social but life then, and then sex.
Who needs a social life? We're
geeks. I'd also miss all the screenings at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You'd be good at the daytime ones.
That's it.
There you go. All right. Now that I've fixed Richard's life.
Thanks, Dave.
We're going to get out of here. Join us coming up on the film show. We're going to be reviewing Drive. We're also going to talk a little bit about the new film Warrior. We have a new list of 5. And we have a shitload of trailers.
Yeah, a lot this week.
It is. It's a lot this week. So we're going to have to really be tight on that film show. Because,
that's what she said.
Oh, stop it. Delta always says to us, geek on, and we're going to say the same thing to all you people. Join us next week for another exciting episode, and geek on. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
If you only listen to Geek Actually, then you're only hearing half the story. You need to shoot over to geekactually.com or iTunes and subscribe to Film Actually, the official movie podcast at geekactually.com. Same crew, same fun, but we talk nothing but movies, and it's a lot of fun. Come over and join us every week. You can also watch it live on our feed, geekactually.com/live, every Saturday afternoon. See you there.